The Economics of Enough. How to Run the Economy as If the Future Matters. Author, Diane Coyle. Still in crisis. The world's leading economies are facing not just one, but many crises. What these crises have in common is a reckless disregard for the future, especially in the way the economy is run. How can we achieve the financial growth we need today without sacrificing a decent future for our children, our societies, and our planet? How can we realize what is the economics of enough? Running the economy for tomorrow as well as today will require a wide range of policy changes. The top priority must be ensuring that we get a true picture of long-term economic prospects. With the developments of official statistics on national wealth in its broadest sense, including natural and human resources. Above all, governments will need to engage citizens in a process of debate about the difficult choices that lie ahead and rebuild a shared commitment to the future of our societies. Save rather than you spend now. When talking about growth and sustainability, it is important to know that the amounts we save rather than we spend now should leave the next generation with at least the same amount of capital as we inherited ourselves, specifically natural capital in the environmental context. There are no easy ways to calculate natural wealth because markets undervalue many natural assets. The absence of true prices for environmental goods poses a dual problem. They are overconsumed and we are unable to easily measure their value. Measurement. The need to measure better what we value. Understanding begins with careful observation and measurement. This is just as true of human society as the natural world. The information technology revolution means there is a massive opportunity to collect much more and better data on our societies and economies, and then to analyze and act on it. The measurements question has several aspects. One is supplementing GDP, the measure of the flow of income generated by the economy each year, with a wider array of statistics measuring social and economic progress. But the way GDP is measured has not kept up with the changing structure of the economy and the intangible nature of growth. A better measure should include activities outside the market economy, such as caring within the household and other uses of time. And the measurement of wealth in its different forms, natural capital, human and social capital, must urgently be added to the measurement of income. The balance sheet of the economy is just as important as the annual change. What does this imply? Switch resources in official statistical agencies away from the current focus on more over-detailed aspects of the existing national accounts in order to invest more in statistical research and innovation to address the conceptual gaps, in particular comprehensive wealth and measurement of intangibles. Until comprehensive wealth accounts are available, develop a wider set of progress measures, drawing on an extensive public consultation. Estimate and publish a thorough assessment of the true government debt burden, including correcting the frequently used accounting fudges and taking into account future implied pensions and welfare obligations. Invest in new satellite accounts covering environmental impacts, household activities, and time use, and link them with conventional economic statistics, all of which will require ceasing collection and publication of decreasingly relevant statistics. Values. For generation, certainly for the 20 years after the Cold War and the fall of communism, relying on market mechanisms seemed the obvious way to ensure the economy delivered for all. Questions of value and values fell out of fashion, for obvious reasons. The earlier big ideological questions of communism versus capitalism seem to have been settled by history. Political parties ran on their competencies rather than ideology in most countries. The economy was recession-free for most of the period. Finances were isolated rather than systemic and typically occurred in distant countries where it was easy to imagine the people weren't really up to running a modern economy. In prosperous times, complacency isn't surprising. What's more, that prosperity seemed to validate the often strident pro-free market views of the politicians who had won the battle with communism. Free markets seemed to be delivering all that was promised of them, such as growth, innovation, globalization, and the miracle of Chinese economy. Now, from the perspective of the most serious recession and the biggest financial crisis since the 1930s, the benefits of markets are doubted and the question of values have come to the fore. This change in sentiment about markets as a means of organizing the economy builds on earlier anti-capitalism of those who protested about globalization. Many people now will probably agree that markets can't be relied on to deliver automatically what we value. In which case, the question is, how can what society values be identical and achieved? After all, central planning is no more appealing today than it was in 1989. Are we really forced to choose between the inefficient, a government-run economy, and the immoral, a market-based one? What next? Looking at the problem as a whole, it is apparent that the way we individually and collectively respond to various challenges will change. And so the question to ask is, how can we manage to change for the best? In order to avert the distress and disruption, perhaps even catastrophe, that would result from ignoring the need. Managing change as a society, or indeed as a closely linked group of societies, will only happen if there is a shared analysis. Our existing political structures are not working well. Neither elected politicians nor officials are easily able to implement any difficult policies. There are several reasons for this dysfunctionality, including the existence of some underlying social fractures that make consensus difficult to attain. One important reason is that the hierarchical governance structures we have inherited from the past are not appropriate or effective any longer. However, the most important changes will be the changes in our attitudes as individuals, and in the way we influence each other. The key attitudes will be acknowledging the future and acknowledging that our individual choices affect other people. In other words, we need to internalize a sense of responsibility to others, including those not yet born, in order to restore the moral fiber that is needed for market capitalism to deliver social well-being. Proposals for governments to help getting started on the challenges of enough. 1. Launch a measuring progress exercise. Where none is yet carried out, undertake extensive public consultation about what indicators the government should use to supplement GDP statistics. 2. Ensure official statistical agencies have the resources and make the commitment to developing and publishing statistics on intergenerational accounts, so that the extent of a true government debt burden is known and published, and to developing new statistics on intangible value, household activities, and time use. 3. Introduce policy measures to encourage increased savings by individuals. 4. Ensure that tax systems encourage business to invest, and to do so over a longer time period than the 2-year payback period that characterizes much current business planning. 5. Make the old-fashioned virtue of public service a priority in implementing the inevitable cuts in public expenditure and reforming the provision of services. 6. Governments should address the extremes of income inequality. 7. We need experiments in the use of the internet to engage citizens more directly in a public policy. 8. Governments should consider also introducing or making greater use of institutions with an explicit duty to take account of the long-term and future generations. 9. Each country should pursue its own policies to address the risk and likely degree of climate change in the absence of international agreement.